Tonight we're going to talk about, what do you do when things are really bad? What do you do when things get really rough, really bad, and how do you respond? How do you deal with that? And so I want us today to, we're going to look at two people. We're going to look at a tremendous Bible passage, and we're going to consider God's word and God's wisdom and God's counsel. But we're also going to look at two humans, two people, two lives that were deeply, deeply impacted by trouble, by problems, by situations in their lives. And I want you to see the response, because I think we can learn a lot from that. I know that sometimes we go through some hard stuff, and sometimes we just don't get it. We don't understand why we have to be going through these things. We run into trouble at work. We run into trouble everywhere. And it's like, what do I do? Trouble in relationships, trouble in all kinds of situations. And it's like, I thought being a Christian, it was going to be easier. I thought I was going to be able to have a life that wasn't so hard. But how do we deal with that? Because honestly, we can either face it and have a victory, or we can be defeated by it. We can face it, or we can give up. So it's really not a lot of options as to how we tackle difficult situations in our lives. So I want to begin with a video, and I want you guys to watch this video closely. An amazing young lady, and how she is able to overcome incredible hardship in her life by not giving up.
Someone posted a video calling me the world's ugliest woman. Over 4 million views. I saw the comments. If you are going to be so ugly, why didn't your parents abort you? Can you please just find a gun and kill yourself? I read everyone because I was determined and desperate to find one comment that said, you don't know her story, or she's just a kid, or anything, and I didn't find that at all.
Lizzie Velasquez was born with neonatal prodroid syndrome, a disorder that prevents her from gaining weight, weakens her bones and heart, and causes blindness in her right eye. Her parents did their best to make her feel normal.
I remember them sitting me down and saying, first of all, there's nothing wrong with you. The only difference is that you're smaller than the other kids, and you're brave enough and strong enough to do whatever you put your mind to.
Public school was a rude awakening, and Lizzie was bullied because of her appearance.
A lot of it was just name calling, pork chop legs, and grandma, and why are you so skinny, and pointing in the stairs. Oftentimes, there were no words said to me, but it hurt as much as someone screaming something hateful to me with a megaphone.
Away from school, Lizzie's only refuge was her family and God.
My faith was something that was instilled in me from day one. I was at church. I was the happiest kid in the world.
When Lizzie entered middle school, the bullying intensified, and so did her frustration.
How come I can only see out of one eye? How come my clothes don't fit like the other kids? How come I can't do this and can't do that? No matter how hard I tried, no matter how hard I prayed, no matter what I did, I was not going to look like everybody else.
Lizzie joined an after-school club to try to win over her peers. It was there she realized she needed to change her attitude.
What am I doing? Nobody did this to me on purpose. Lizzie, stop whining. Stop complaining. God is the reason why I'm here. If I'm going to continue on this faith journey, I need to actually walk it. I have God here with me, and He's not leaving this path. And if He's not leaving this path, neither am I.
From that point forward, things began to change.
I was really happy. Everything was going well. I had incredible best friends around me.
Lizzie's confidence grew, but she wasn't prepared for what would happen her junior year of high school.
don't think I'll ever be able to adequately describe what I felt in that moment. I was really confused and upset and angry. What in the world do I do now? I worked so hard to get my confidence up to where I was. Now that doesn't even exist. I knew deep down I was not going to let this video or those people become the definition of who I was meant to be.
Lizzie immersed herself in church and school. Later, she was asked to share her story with the freshman class. She was apprehensive, but the next morning, she stood up in front of 400 students and spoke.
Halfway through, I looked up and I realized that everyone was just listening. It was silent in there. And in that exact very moment, I had never felt more comfortable and confident in my own skin. And I realized we all know what it's like to be bullied. We all know what it's like to feel like you're not good enough or pretty enough or strong enough.
When Lizzie finished speaking, she finally felt she understood God's plan for her life.
I looked up and there was like a line of students who were wanting to come up and hug me and telling me how much my story touched them. I get chills thinking about it because it was just like this moment of like, I'm gonna be okay. That was the day that I found my purpose.
For the next 5 years, Lizzie shared her story at churches and conferences nationwide. Then in 2013, another video of her went viral. This time, it was a TED Talk she gave on self-image that garnered over 10 million views.
I wasn't doing this to, be famous. I was doing this to share a message. The whole speech, every word that came out of my mouth was a God thing. It wasn't me.
Now Lizzie speaks around the world, hosts her own YouTube channel, and has written several books. In Dare to Be Kind, Lizzie shares how to overcome life's challenges.
I feel like Jesus put me in this little body to show people that no matter what size you are, or where you come from, or what you go through, there is a God who is there, who will never leave you, and that will surpass any obstacle. Size you are or where you come from.
Pretty amazing that. How do you recover from a video going viral as a junior in high school that's about you and that's calling you the world's ugliest woman? How do you survive a video like this and all the comments? Every single comment was an attack. Every comment was vicious. Every comment was without any heart and without any sentiment. Every comment was, why don't you shoot yourself? You know, why didn't your mother abort you? And how do you survive that? How does a child survive that? And I encourage you to look up the TED Talk and listen to it. It's about 13 minutes long. Lizzie Velasquez. And watch it. Because she goes into more detail there about her struggles and her life and just, it's amazing. But the reason I shared her story with you today is because if she doesn't give up, if she can make it through that kind of hardship, I think sometimes we get carried away about things that are not that big in our lives. She's an inspiration to us never to give up. Never to give up. In God, we find purpose. And even that, she has found purpose in God. What do we do when things are bad? And here's where I want to take this tonight. What do we do when things are bad? Well, here's an image that I picked up many years ago that I love it because I think it makes a great point. Danny, did you connect this? Okay? It's got plenty of battery, so you're going to have to click for me, Danny. Click. This little image has meant a lot to me over the years, and I've kept it and I've saved it in my computer because it says so much. It's like this frog is basically dead, except for the fact that he's not giving up. So he grabs the bird by the neck and says, well, you're not going to swallow me. You don't let me go, you're going to suffocate. And you're not going to eat me. So this is not over yet. And it's the kind of the notion of an attitude. We can give up when things get really bad. It's so easy to give up. It was so amazing. A few years ago, the New York transit system lost a bus and a driver. Think about that. They lost an entire metro bus and a driver. And for like over a week, they could not find them. How do you lose a bus in New York City and a bus driver? They found them a week later here in Fort Lauderdale Beach with his bus. He said, and when they caught up with him, he said, look, I was having trouble at home. I was tired of my passengers being so rude and obnoxious. I was tired of the snow and the cold weather. I couldn't take it anymore. And I said, you know what? What would happen if after I finish my shift, I just take I-95 South with the bus? And he did it. He did it. But the point that is made with this story is that he quit. He gave up. He says, you know, whatever. I'm not going to take this anymore. And please don't tell me that you haven't had that desire. At one point in your life, I was like, you know what? I just want to disappear. Like, I want to leave here. Like, I want to, like, can I go to the moon? Can I go to Mars? We've all had it. When things get really bad, we want to leave. We want to escape. We want to get away. We want to quit. We want to get on a rocket and be gone. We wish we could. But that's not the answer. That's not the solution. That's not the way to deal with these situations. We all, as Christians, hit roadblocks. We all hit potholes in our lives. We hit situations where our health fails us, or we have a relationship problems, or we have financial problems, or we have emotional problems, or even mental stress that we can't handle. We all go through really difficult times. But how we deal with it is incredibly important. Danny, are you going to click for me? Can you put the thing in the front USB to see if it'll pick up my signal? So the point of the message tonight is never give up. Never, ever, ever, ever give up. Go ahead, click. Tough times, okay. Have you ever felt like giving up? Obviously, we went over that. Have you ever come home frustrated, exhausted? Something happened at work and school. We all have. Now, you're not alone. Here's something interesting about the Bible. When you go into the scripture, you find people that had bad days. You find people that had real bad days. You find people that, like, oh my goodness, like things got really bad. And there's a whole bunch of them. You know, the Jews leaving Egypt. What a great day. They're free. They're liberated from Egypt. They're all celebrating, and all of a sudden they come to the Red Sea. Like, what do I do now? What was the point of leaving Egypt if I can't get away? The sea's right there. Army behind me. They want us back. They changed their mind, and now they're really angry because we left. If it was hard before we left, now it's harder. Bad place to be. The Bible says they were freaking out. They all wanted to, like, disappear because things were really bad. Take the widow of Zarephath, or take the poor widow, or the woman from Shunem. All of these three stories are about people that were going through really hard times. Two of them had lost a son, had died. A daughter had died. The other one had lost everything, and they didn't have food to give to their family. Nothing. They had no money. Nothing to give, feed them, and just in a horrible situation. You take the guy, Elijah, the prophet, he's being threatened, he's been given a death sentence, and he's been given pretty much 24 hours to live. By this time tomorrow, you're going to be dead. Again, by somebody who could fulfill that promise. a nasty queen and who was after him. And so all of these people are just like you and me. All of these people run into hard situations in life. What would have happened if they would have given up? Think about it for a minute. What would have happened if these people would have given up? See, that's what I want you to think about tonight. Here's what. If you give up in tough times, you're never going to see God's glory in your life. If you give up in the tough times, you won't see God's glory. What would have happened if the Jews facing the Red Sea would have given up and gone back to Egypt? If the Jews would have given up and gone back to Egypt, what would have happened? They would still be slaves. They would have not seen the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea. They would not have seen all the other miracles God performed for them. They would have missed out on everything. And they would have been worse off than when they left the first time. So by not giving up, they got to see God's glory in their life. The same thing for the rest of these stories. That widow, what would have happened if she would have given everything up? Well, she lost a child. Guess what? If she would have given up, she would have been a widow and who lost a child. But she didn't give up. She looked for the prophet. He prayed for the son, and he was brought back to life. Not giving her up gave her a life with her son that she had lost by not giving up. Same thing with Elijah. What would have happened if Elijah would have given up? We wouldn't know anything about him. We wouldn't be talking about him tonight. He would not have done all the amazing things he did after that, because God's glory manifests itself even further. What about the poor widow who had given up? If she would have given up, she just would have starved with her kids, but she didn't. She trusted God, and she waited, and she gave the prophet what he asked for, and she fed him with her last bit of food, and guess what? God provided for her abundantly for her kids and for her family, because she didn't give up. Same thing with the other widow, the woman from Sunem, if she would have given up? Her daughter would have been gone forever. But because she didn't give up, she sought the prophet. The prophet prayed over her daughter, and her daughter came back to life. So what you have in these stories is, briefly, you have a very clear picture of one thing, and that is that hard times come, but if we trust in the Lord and we don't give up, we will see his glory. We will see him come through for us. And if we give up, we're going to miss seeing that. It's giving up is the worst decision we could ever make in our lives when it comes to facing difficulties. It seems like the easiest decision, but it's also the worst decision. And I'll show you why in a few minutes. Now, Paul is a great example for us about not giving up. Okay, Paul is an excellent example. And we're going to be looking in our Bibles in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, where he talks about himself. There's a lot of biographical material in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And he tells you about his struggles. He tells you about his struggles, his battles, what he's going through, and how he deals with it. And I think we can learn so much from that. Okay, so let's start with 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. That's where we're going to begin looking at his life. Okay. Verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Look at verse 4. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Notice what he's talking about here. He's saying, you know what? When God helps us out, man, and comforts us, we can help somebody else out. What you're going through today may be what you need to be able to help somebody tomorrow with what they're going through. You're able to see God. I mean, think about it. People that marriages that have a problem, just to give you an example, and they work it out and they stick it through, and God rescues that marriage and that relationship, and they get back on their feet and things are good. How powerful is their testimony to another couple who's struggling? It's like, hey, listen, look at us. We were where you were. We were struggling, but we trusted the Lord. We held on and look, and we made it. So you can make it too. And that's where this whole idea of God, we comfort each other by sharing with each other the victories that God has given us in our lives. He says, for the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. The more you go through, the more grace God pours out on you. The more God just is, because God takes care of us. And when we go through the tough times, he's there with us. And the harder the times we're going through, the more powerful his presence is with us, because he's there to comfort us. He knows our needs. He made us. Now, we continue to read Paul, verse 6. Even when we're weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. He's talking to the Corinthians and telling them, look, you guys have been through a lot, and we've been through a lot, but learn from us. Watch us. Watch our lives. Learn from how God has brought us through, and take comfort in that. Click, please. Verse 8, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed. That's a pretty strong word. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. Like he's putting you where he was. And we thought we would never live through it. Talk about being in a bad place, okay? We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought we would never live through it. Because from our perspective, sometimes things look like there's no way out. There's no hope. There's like we sometimes see ourselves in situations where we're crushed. We are so overwhelmed, we don't know how to deal with it. And we think that there's no way we're going to survive this. But look what it says in verse 9. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and we learned to rely only on God, who raises the dead. Look at Paul's wisdom there. Look at what he's telling you. This is real life, practical 101 Christianity. If I'm in a situation that's hopeless, there's nothing I can do, then the only thing I have left to do is rest in God and say, well, God, there's nothing I can do. This is in your hands. And when we do that, we see God do, God act, God move. God is sometimes waiting for us to say, okay, when you stop struggling, I'll go ahead and I'll step in. When you stop trying to fix this, I'll fix it. Because, look, that's what Paul is telling us. We thought we were going to die. So because we thought we were going to die, we gave up on trying to fix it ourselves. And we just put ourselves in God's hand. And guess what? They didn't die. He's writing this because they didn't die. They survived. We learned to rely on the God who raises the dead. It's amazing to me, if you read the book of Hebrews, and it talks about Abraham's and Isaac's story where Isaac was going to be sacrificed. You know, when we talk about Isaac's sacrifice, sometimes we focus, and rightfully so, on the fact that God provided a substitute. He didn't have to kill his son. God provided, that's the message of salvation. But there's an interesting book, a verse in Hebrews that says that the reason Abraham went up there with the knife and his son is because he was believing that God was going to raise his son back from the dead. Like, what? Like, no wonder he's called the father of faith. Like, his faith is way beyond that. He says, well, even if my son dies, I'm not worried about it because God is going to bring him back. Because God made me a promise with him, so there's no way this is going to go on without him being alive. So what incredible faith. And this is what Paul is talking about. We trusted the God who can raise from the dead. Okay, God, if we die, our lives are in your hand. You're going to raise us up. We're going to trust in you because we have no other choice at this point but to do so. Click for me, please. Click again. Verse 10, and he did rescue us from mortal danger and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. Paul said that one time, God rescued us. It's like, wow. So when you've been there and God has rescued you, man, you know what that does to your faith? The next time you're there, you're like, okay, God, this hurts. This is bad. This doesn't look good. But hey, we've been here before, man. You've gotten me out of this. So I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you that you're going to get me out of this. Go ahead and click for me, please. And you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. Go ahead and click. Now jump with me to 2 Corinthians 11. Same book, 2 Corinthians, but chapter 11 now. Second Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I've served him far more. I've worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. What is Paul telling us? Look, guys, you want to talk about suffering? I win the prize. Who suffered the most in this relationship? Paul raises his hand and says, me. Without a doubt. If anybody thinks they're having a hard time, listen, look at me. Look what I have gone through. And he goes on to make an incredible list. Click. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Those were brutal beatings. Brutal. The reason they gave you 39, because they had it measured. 40 would kill you. So at 39, they would stop. That was the average amount that a person can tolerate before they died. They had done this to Paul 5 times. Tied him up and beaten him in the back with a whip that had, you know, that had heavy material and just 39 lashes. How do you survive that? And keep on preaching. And keep on teaching. And keep on going. Dude, anybody, after that first lashing, is like, Lord, this is not for me, man. I want another career. I want to go into real estate or something. This is not what I want to do. I mean, come on. 5 times. Verse 25. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent the whole night and a day adrift at sea. Dude, I've been at sea. We've been at sea. Spending a day and a night adrift at sea, that's not fun. That's a pretty scary prospect. Verse 26, I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I faced dangers from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I faced dangers from men who claim to be believers, but are not. Click. Verse 27. Go back. Go back. Backwards, the other way. Okay? One more. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. When you go through that list, whenever you feel things are really bad, here's a good devotional. Go to 2 Corinthians 11 and read these verses from verse 23 to verse 27 and then say, oh God, thank you that I'm not going through that. It's going to make you feel better. It's the kind of devotion that's going to make you feel better because that's some heavy stuff this guy went through. Okay, go with me now. Click the other way now. There you go. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1, therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. That's Paul's secret. How could Paul do it? How could he do it all? How could he withstand everything? There's his secret. We never give up. Go ahead and click. Click, sir. He understood the key principles for overcoming in the worst situations. Click. Click, Danny. It is not easy to stay in the battle when things get so hard, but there's a way to do it. There's definitely a way to do it. Now, Paul's secret, we're going to look at a few principles that he came up with. The first principle, when God calls you to ministry, you never give up. Paul said, hey, God called me to work for him. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. Look, you can quit your McDonald's job. You can quit your job at this place or that place because, hey, your boss is your boss. You quit, you find another boss. But when your boss is the Lord, there is no other boss. You don't quit that job. That's the kind of job you say, okay, Lord, you trusted me, you hired me, you have me working for you. I will never betray your trust. I will not quit, no matter what. That is what Paul's response was. Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. Principle number two, we are fragile, so God gets the glory. Here's another tremendous lesson Paul learned. Hey, if we were strong and we solved all of our problems, we wouldn't need God. We would get the glory. That's not the way it works. Look at verse 7. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. We're so fragile. We can't handle. We can't win. We can't. So when we have the victory, there's no doubt it was God who did it. And Paul says that in other places as well. He says, I know now, I've realized that in my weakness, that's when God is strongest. That's where God makes himself known and does what he's going to do. Because I'm not handling it. I'm letting him handle it. Verse principle number three. The trouble is never more than we can handle. Look at verse 8. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. Like, we've taken a hit, no doubt. We lost this round, but we haven't lost the fight. We were knocked down, but we got back up. That's the idea. What we get when we get hit by life or whatever happens in life, understand that it's not too much. It may seem like it's too much, but it never destroys us. God would not allow that. Principle number four, the fact that we don't understand doesn't mean that we've lost all hope. Doesn't mean that there isn't a purpose. Doesn't mean that God is not going to do something. Just because we can't see what he's going to do doesn't mean he's not going to do. Just because we don't see how he's going to solve it doesn't mean he can't solve it. Just because we don't see a way out doesn't mean there is no way out. And that's what Paul is telling us. We are perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. In other words, we don't get it, but we're not giving up because God has to know what he's doing. We trust that he knows what he's doing. Principle five, God never abandons us, especially when we're persecuted. Look at verse 9. We are hunted down, but we are never abandoned by God. When we are being persecuted for Christ, you know he's there. You know he's there. He will never abandon us. Principle six. We may fall, but we will never stay down. We will always get back up. Verse 9. We got knocked down, but we are not destroyed. We got knocked down. Yeah, we took a hit, but we're not destroyed. This is not the end of the story. We're not staying out. We didn't get eliminated. No, we just took a hit. We get back up. Principle 7, we refuse to let fear keep us from fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. Look at verse 11 through 13. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus. So we live in the face of death, but we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. Now, that's hard for us to understand. That principle for us means meaningless because here we're not persecuted for our beliefs. Not like it happens in other places. We support a missionary that's in the thick of things where he can't even send us a newsletter telling us his name or where he's at. Everything is like in code because that's how much his life is in danger. And so we have Christians that every day when they leave the house, they don't know if they're going to come back home because they could be caught by the religious fanatics of their region and be killed for being a Christian. beaten. You can, I mean, Voice of the Martyrs, just go there. Watch some of the videos. It's heartbreaking. Heartbreaking what they do to Christians. But you know what? That persecution, that doesn't keep Paul from going forward and preaching. And that shouldn't keep us from it. And we're not even going through that. So for us not to serve God, for us not to go and do what God has called us to do, when these people are doing it in the face of death, it's kind of interesting. Principle number 8, the longer I stay in the battle, the more I can build God's kingdom and the more glory I bring God. That's just, Paul understood that. Look at verse 15. All of this is for your benefit. Paul is talking to the Corinthians. He says, everything we're doing is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. We're doing this for the Lord. The more longer we stay in here, the more impact we make for the kingdom, the more glory God gets. That's why we never give up. Verse 16. Twice in this chapter, he tells you, we don't give up. We never give up. And finally, principle number 9. All the trials and sufferings have a lasting positive result in me. I'm being developed into the image of Christ. Look at verse 16. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. I like how the Message translation says that verse. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside, it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. That's what Paul is saying. Look, yeah, our body, our flesh is getting battered, but we are being strengthened inside in our spirit. And the final principle, the suffering is nothing compared to the reward. Another incredible principle by Paul. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. That's where Paul is telling us, never give up. You never, ever give up. Paul had a reason for doing this. You fight this battle. You work so hard. In another passage, Paul tells us, look, you fight this battle. You work so hard. And then don't give up before the end of the day, because you'll miss out on the prize. Now, let me give you an analogy, and then I'm going to show you a video, and we'll be done, a video clip. Quick analogy. Look, whether you like boxing or not, the sport of boxing, I hope all of us have some notion of what happens in a boxing ring. You have 12 rounds or 15 rounds or whatever rounds, and each round, the opponents try to knock each other out. And in order to lose the fight, you have to be knocked down 3 times, if that's the rule. And if that's not in effect, you have to be knocked out to lose the fight. And so there may be a round where a boxer gets knocked out, knocked down twice. And then he'll get up, and at the end of the fight, he'll win that fight. It's happened. Because you lose a round doesn't mean you're going to lose the fight. You keep going. You keep going until the very last minute. And some boxers, their corners tell them, hey, listen, you're so far behind in points throughout all of these rounds. This is the last round. The only way you're going to win this is if you knock him out this round. Otherwise, he's going to beat you on points. But the analogy is this. Okay, God already told us that we're going to win the fight. This fight is rigged. God already settled who's going to win. We win. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We win. Our names are written in the book of life, and nothing can take that away from us. Romans says that everything works out for the good for us. Romans also said in chapter 8 that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. So we win this fight. What we're fighting now are the different rounds. You may lose a round. You may have to get up and fight the next one and come out ahead. But at the end, when the last bell rings, who's going to win? We win. It's already decided. So if that is the outcome that's already assured us, how much sense does it make to give up in round 7 or in round 8
Why would you throw in the towel and give up and let the other person win when you already know you're going to win? All you have to do is stick it out. Stay the course, fight that battle, and you know you're going to win. So that's why Christians, it doesn't make any sense for us to ever give up, ever. We are more than conquerors, and we will win. And the greatest prize is that we will enter the kingdom of heaven, and we will spend an eternity with our God. Nobody can take that away from you. No matter how hard your day is, how hard your life is, how hard your struggle is, no one can take that away from you. So you're a winner. What we are called to do then is to just hang in there and fight it out every day with His help, and He will bless us. I'm going to close with this video from an incredible event that happened in the Olympics a while back. I showed this video here like 5 years ago. Some of you may remember it, but it is so powerful. I think we'll all get a lot out of it. And then we'll close with this. Go ahead, Danny.
Shoulder.
Father God, I thank you for tonight, Lord. I thank you that, Lord, we each face battles and struggles daily.